नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय प्रसंगम अचरम भाषम आत्मना कवयो विधु स एव साधुषु कृतो मोक्षद्वारम् अपावृतम्. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Here it is clearly stated that attachment for one thing is the cause of bondage in conditioned life. And the same attachment, when applied to something else, opens the door of liberation. Attachment cannot be killed. It simply has to be transferred. Attachment for material things is called material consciousness. And attachment for Krishna or his devotee is called Krishna consciousness. Consciousness, therefore, is the platform of attachment. It is clearly stated here that when we simply purify the consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness, we attain liberation. Despite the statement that one should give up attachment, desirelessness is not possible for a living entity. A living entity, by constitution, has the propensity to be attached to something. We see that if someone has no object of attachment, if he has no children, then he transfers his attachment to cats and to dogs. This indicates that the propensity for attachment cannot be stopped. It must be utilized for the best purpose. Our attachment for material things perpetuates our conditioned state. But the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee, is the source of liberation. Here it is recommended that attachment should be transferred to the self-realized devotees, the sadhus. And who is a sadhu? A sadhu is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or long beard. A sadhu is described in Bhagavad Gita as one who unflinchingly engages in devotional service. Even though one is found not to be following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service, if one simply has unflinching faith in Krishna, the Supreme Person, he is understood to be a sadhu. Sadhur eva samantabhya. A sadhu is a strict follower of devotional service. It is recommended here that if one at all wants to realize Brahman or spiritual perfection, his attachment should be transferred to a sadhu or devotee. Lord Chaitanya also confirmed this. Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. Simply by a moment's association with a sadhu, one can attain perfection. Mahatma is a synonym of sadhu. It is said that service to a Mahatma, or elevated devotee of the Lord, is dwaram ahur vimukte, the royal road of liberation. Mahatsevam dwaram ahur vimuktestamo dwaram yoshita sangi sangam. Rendering service to the materialists has the opposite effect. If anyone offers service to a gross materialist or a person engaged only in sense gratification, then by association with such a person, the door to hell is opened. The same principle is confirmed here. Attachment to a devotee is attached to this, is attachment, attachment to a devotee is attachment to the service of the Lord. Because if one associates with a sadhu, the result will be that the sadhu will teach him how to become a devotee, a worshiper, and a sincere servitor of the Lord. These are the gifts of a sadhu. If we want to associate with a sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us instructions on how to improve our material condition. But he will give us instructions on how to cut the knot of the contamination of material attraction and how to elevate ourselves in devotional service. That is the result of associating with a sadhu. Kapila Muni, first of all instructs that the path of liberation begins with such association. I am very grateful to have this opportunity to serve all of you in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Thank you for being here. This particular verse was chosen because Dinatarani Devi told us that Yamuna Devi especially appreciated this particular chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the nature of the soul, Hare Krishna, the nature of the soul is to be detached from all selfish, egoistic, material desires. On the path of bhakti, the perfection of detachment is complete attachment. Simple detachment from the selfish urges of the mind and senses can bring shanti or peace. But the soul is thirsting for something more than peace. The soul is thirsting for love or prema. And that prema manifests when we become completely attached to Krishna. Attachment to Krishna means attachment to serving Krishna, to pleasing Krishna. Atapum virdvijas trestas varanashrama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir haritoshana. That the perfection of all of our dharmas, our occupations of all religions, is to please Krishna. Here in Vrindavan, we were discussing yesterday what a struggle it was for a handful of Western people to build this temple. The early 70s, India was not near as much of a global economy as it was, as it is today. I have to make a confession. Maybe I shouldn't make it. But I just wanted a speaker that worked when I was giving classes, a small speaker. And I had to smuggle it in, hide it in my baggage. Because anything you wanted to bring in that was worth anything was taxed so heavily. And the things that were made here just didn't work. At least not very well. So it was very difficult. And here we had Gurudas Prabhu, Yamuna Devi, some of the others. They were sent to Vrindavan. And please understand, in those days, Vrindavan was not like it is today, with all sorts of nice facilities. It was more or less just a forest with a few ashrams. Ramanreti was just pastures with just a couple scattered little ashrams here. It was considered such a long distance from Vrindavan. And beyond here, there was practically nothing. Just fields, pastures, trees, monkeys, cows grazing. It was very beautiful, actually. And it was very quiet. So to try to get steel and bricks and everything else it takes to build a big temple, and there wasn't much money. Money was just trickling in from different parts of the world. And there were just foreigners who had to deal with it all. And the whole psychology of doing business in India and doing business in the West in those days was completely different psychology. And I don't think any of these people even had any experience of doing business in the West. So they were constantly, every moment people were trying to cheat, people were trying to steal. And one particular devotee that was here, not the ones we mentioned, somebody else, he was for some time helping to oversee the construction. He was in so much anxiety. He approached Srila Prabhupada and said, "Everyone in Vrindavan is going Radhe Radhe. And I'm just rupee rupee. I'm just battling over rupees and trying to get people to stop stealing. And I'm getting so many threats and so much anxiety. And anytime things aren't going right, I'm getting chastised." He said, he was actually a sannyasi. He said, I just want to do my bhajan, my sadhana here. See, there was no cell phones in those days. But Eddie, at least you should learn how to turn it off before you come to class. So he was complaining to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's response to him was an instruction for all people for all time to come. That the real question is, what will please Krishna? Even accepting anxiety to please Krishna is a higher platform than just trying to find peace for yourself. Shukadeva Goswami describes in Srimad Bhagavatam that Yashoda Mai was constantly immersed in the anxiety of the ecstasy of love for Krishna. You know, if Krishna manifested to her as the impersonal Brahman, she would just be in peace. But Krishna manifested as little Gopal. And he was always going places. She was afraid he was going to get stepped on by a bull or get the horn of a cow in him, or a monkey might scratch him, or a dog might bite him, or a thorn might prick him. And he was always looking for those things. So Rohini and Yashoda Mai, they were always running around in anxiety about Krishna and Balaram. But it was their love. And that anxiety is billions and billions of times higher ecstatic experience than peace. Peace means no interference from what makes me happy. Prema is dynamic. It means whatever is required to make Krishna happy. And this is the spirit of seva. In Ramayana, Hanuman was not trying to find peace. He was trying to find seva. Yes? After he gave the message to Sita at the Ashokvan, he could have just gone back and said, "Ram, I did it." But he wanted to do something more. He started tearing up the garden, knowing how dear it was to Ravana. And he knew, he was asking Ravana to come, like tearing his trees down. And Ravana was sending army after army, general after general to fight, and ultimately he was bound up and he was brought before Ravana, and he insulted Ravana right to his face. Then while tied up, he had his tail set on fire. That's not peace. That's seva. He could have had peace. And then he was jumping. Peace would be putting the tail out. He was jumping from building to building to building and touching his tail and setting the whole city on fire. That's love. Actually, that's the highest peace. It's the most intimate peace. Because it's the nature of the soul, the dynamics of loving devotional service. So that attachment to Krishna, which means attachment to serving Krishna, to pleasing Krishna, is the ultimate aspiration of a devotee. Haridas Thakur, when he was approached, he was actually arrested and brought before the king. The king has whole militaries. And the Qazi was there. They asked Haridas, "We'll give you two choices. Just stop this chanting of Krishna's names, or at least stop telling others about it, and we'll let you go free. You could be peaceful. Otherwise, we are going to beat you, torture you till you're dead." And what did Haridas choose? He said, "You can cut my body into as many pieces as you like, but you can't stop me from chanting Krishna's name." He could have at least said it and then gone out. He could have said, "All right, I'll be good." And then gone underground. Outright. He just told him, no, if you let me live, I will preach. So they beat him in 22 marketplaces. And he constantly chanted Krishna's names. And later, years later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed how he personally took all those beatings upon himself, because he was conquered by the service attitude of Haridas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya gave Haridas at that time in the house of Srivas a special benediction. "Because you are so attached to me, anyone who becomes attached to you, I will give ecstatic love for Krishna. That is Krishna's special grace within this world, as he sends his devotees. And those devotees are places of pilgrimage. Bhavad Vida Bhagavat Tirtha Bhuta Svayam Vibhu, because they carry Krishna in their heart. And someone who is attached to Krishna, if we become attached to them, it's the same as being attached to Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam tells the story of Durvasa. He was such a powerful mystic yogi. And Ambarish was a simple householder with a family. And Durvasa Muni, he interpreted us. Ambarish was just trying to do good. He had only good intentions. But Durvasa Muni, he interpreted it as an offense. So he took a hair from his head, he threw it on the ground, the hair became a fiery monster, and that monster went to kill Ambarish. But Lord Vishnu killed the monster with his Sudarshan, and the Sudarshan chased after Durvas. And you know the story, Durvas went to Brahma, he went to Shiva, ultimately he went to Vishnu and surrendered to Vishnu. Please save me. Such a difference. Because when this monster, this fiery demon was approaching Ambarish, he didn't say, Krishna, save me. He was just offering his life to Krishna. You can do whatever you like with me. I'm yours. That's detachment. Ambarish is living in a palace. He has a beautiful wife. He has children. He's managing all sorts of government affairs. And when there's a fiery entity coming to kill him, to devour him, roaring at him, he's fearlessly, Krishna, I'm yours. You can kill me, you can protect me, I'm yours. He was totally attached to Krishna. And here's Durvasa, he lives in caves, he lives under trees, he just wears kopans, he doesn't have any possessions, he doesn't have any children, he doesn't have any family, he never had a job in his life. He's a real sadhu as far as renunciate. And when a fiery entity came toward him, he ran away in total fear. And he ran and ran, and he was begging so many people for protection. So externally, it seems that Durvasa Muni was very detached. But actually, in this story, we find that Ambarish was really detached. Durvasa Muni was detached from the material existence. But that was it. But Ambarish was attached to Krishna. Even though he was engaged in so many of the anxieties of the affairs of this world, he was attached to Krishna. Ultimately, Lord Vishnu told Durvasa Muni that there's nothing I can do for you because you offended my devotee. Ambarish is a sadhu. He's truly a sadhu. Sadhu nam hridayam mayam. A sadhu keeps me in his heart. And therefore I keep a sadhu in my heart. My devotee knows no one but me, and I know no one but my devotee. Madbhakta pujabhyatika, the Adi Purana 6. Worship of my devotee is more dear to me than worshiping me. Because the devotee is so attached within his or her heart that by becoming attached to that devotee, by pleasing that devotee, Krishna within the heart of that devotee is most pleased.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revealed this principle in so many incredible ways. In Navadvip, he went to the house of Srivas. This is just after he took initiation in Gaya. And he told Srivas and Srivas's wife Malini, bring all your servants and maidservants and everyone else. And they all came. You know, they were people who washed clothes, people who washed things, and people who, you know, garden and clean. And simple people. They were not educated. They were obviously of a lower caste from that perspective. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his forearm form to all of them and put his lotus feet on all of their heads and gave all of them Krishna Prema. What was their qualification? They were attached to Srivas and Malini. That's all. Anyone who loves my servants and who is loved by my servants is loved by me. And a little later, Shivananda Sen, he was taking all the 200-300 devotees from Bengal to Puri. They were walking so many days, and a little dog just started following. And that dog, he wasn't a pedigree, beautiful kind of dog. He was just the kind of dogs that you find in the streets of India. And he followed. And Shivananda Sen just saw such compassion. If this spirit soul in this dog if he sees Lord Chaitanya, how much he will benefit. I must serve him nicely. So the dog became dear to Shivananda Sen. The dog didn't do any seva. All he did is just follow. Whatever else dogs do. And when Shivananda Sen was delayed, and he had to give dog special meal. I guess Bengalis like spices or something, and the dog didn't like spices. So he made some special rice only for the dog. But while he was gone, they forgot to give him that special rice. So he came back. Where is dog? We don't know. Did you feed him his special rice? They said, we forgot. Shivananda Sen was looking everywhere. Couldn't find him. When he finally came with all the party to Puri, he went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shivananda Sen was alone. He went to the Gambira. And he saw two people all alone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the dog. How did he get there? It's a mystery. It was just the two of them. Lord Chaitanya had some green coconut pulp, and he said to the dog, chant Krishna Krishna. And the dog chanted, Krishna Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a bite of the green coconut pulp and took it out of his mouth and threw it at the dog. And the dog jumped up and ate it. Then Mahaprabhu said, chant Krishna Krishna. The dog went, Krishna Krishna. And kept doing that. They were having a pastime together. Shivananda Sen describes, he bowed down to the lotus-like paws of the dog.
That was how he honored that dog. And we read in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the next day the dog was nowhere to be found. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him to Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world. What was his qualification? This dog, he wasn't doing any intense sadhana. He wasn't doing any puja. He was attached to a devotee. And the devotee was not materially attached to the dog. This is the fine line we have to be very careful. He was attached to the Atma of that dog. So you're saying, you may say, if he was attached to the Atma, then why was he feeding the body of the dog? Why was he so concerned that proper meals and proper transportation, he had to pay for him to go on boats? Because the body is a medium by which we could serve the Atma. But what is the intent? A mother and father have to care for their children, have to care for the physical of the children. But is the motivation to liberate their souls? Are they? This is the body by which I can, by serving this person's body, I can actually somehow or other give Krishna to their soul. And if that's what we really do, then the body's a medium. Yes, Sivananda Sen was very concerned with the health of the dog, but his purpose was to bring him to Lord Chaitanya so he could get that mercy. And somehow or other, because of his kindness, the dog became attached to him. And essentially, that's how our Krishna consciousness movement spread. That was the seeds of how this Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan was manifested. Srila Prabhupada went to New York. And later, His Holiness Mukunda Goswami Maharaj arranged for Prabhupada to go to San Francisco. And there he was joined by, you know, several devotees, especially Mukunda Goswami Maharaj, Janaki, Gurudas Prabhu, and Yamuna Devi, Shamsundar Prabhu, Malati Devi. Srila Prabhupada just cared for them so much. Because he saw their eternal souls, and he loved their souls, because he saw every living being as part and parcel of Krishna. At the same time, he was very careful to teach them on every level how to engage their bodies, their minds, their everything in Krishna's service. He really cared for them. And he cared for them unconditionally. He wasn't like a father because he gave birth to them. He was Krishna's representative, the Supreme Father. And because he would do anything for them, they would do anything for him. They became completely attached to him. We read in Mukunda Goswami Maharaj's book, Miracle in Second Avenue, of how Srila Prabhupada just drew their attachment and their love for him. And that naturally manifested love for Krishna. Yamuna Devi's book, Unalloyed, is soon to come out. We will find that same principal feature. They became so attached to Srila Prabhupada because they saw he was willing to do everything and anything for the fallen souls to give them Krishna. they became like that. Nothing was impossible.
How is it 70-year-old man with no money, and he's just going so many places, he didn't have good health, and temples are opening, and devotees are coming, and prasad is being cooked? Because of their attachment to Srila Prabhupada, on the basis of Prabhupada's compassion to them, they realize nothing is impossible. Let's start a center here. They had no money. They had no experience in any of this stuff. And soon they're having all sorts of concerts, and they go to London. When they went to London, they had not even a single paisa. They didn't know anyone. They were all staying in different places, in warehouse basements, and they'd meet people and sleep on their floors sometimes. But they were happy. Where did that enthusiasm come from? From their attachment to Srila Prabhupada. They could do anything. And they never complained. They were all coming from quite wealthy families, most of them. Shamsundar Prabhu's father was a lawyer, one of the top lawyers of their town. I've been to the house. It's a beautiful home. He left that to live in cardboard boxes and freezing cold basements in London. Why? He was happy. His Holiness Giriraj Swami, his father was a millionaire, and he was living in a little rat-infested field where people were trying to kill him. You know, threats, mafia threats and everything. Why? Because they were attached to Srila Prabhupada. Here in Vrindavan, there were great illustrations of the power of being attached to Krishna's devotees. One example, Agasura. Agasura, he was the brother, the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura, who were both killed by Krishna. So he was very vengeful. He had to get revenge. He had so much hate in his heart. He didn't want to just kill Krishna. He wanted to kill every single resident of Brajbhumi. Killing Krishna was not enough. He was really bloodthirsty. So he assumed the form of this massive snake and opened his mouth so wide so that he could eat all the children. And his strategy was, if Krishna and all the gopas are swallowed by me and I kill them, then all the parents will die. The calves, if they're killed, the cows and the bulls will die because they can't live without their calves. And if Krishna and all the children, all the adults will die. This was serious genocide. He literally wanted to exterminate the entire race of Brijabasis forever. That was his motive. And he wasn't just thinking it. He had a plan. And it was being executed. He opened his mouth and the little gopas were playing and they said, "Oh, look at that. It looks like Krishna must have made this. It's a playground for us to play in." So then, "Let's go play in it." So they started going and then somebody said, "Is this a statue?" And somebody said, "But it feels like it's breathing." This is a giant snake. Its tongue is like a highway. And its upper lip is on the ground, and its bottom lip is on the ground, upper lip is in the clouds. It's come to devour us. That's a cell phone. Oh, it's a pigeon. I thought it was a pigeon ringer. These days, you just don't know. All right, pigeons are really nice. So this is a giant demon. He's come to devour us. And the children were so happy, they were laughing and playing. They said, oh, let's go inside. Krishna will save us. And some of the little boys started running away. And the others said, you are so afraid, we won't play with you anymore. Krishna will protect us. Let's go. So they were all clapping and laughing and playing as they ran right into his mouth. And Krishna was looking at them. And meanwhile, they were just looking at Krishna going like this. We're going in the snake's mouth. Krishna, what are you? He didn't have time to stop them. Everything happened so fast. At least this is how his leela went. And Agasura was waiting with his mouth open, waiting for Krishna. And when Krishna entered, the mouth closed. It was pitch dark. All the boys, there's no air, no ventilation, no oxygen. They all died, actually. And meanwhile, but for a while they were playing inside. They were exploring it before he closed his mouth. They were actually having a good time. And usually, this is the one time Krishna expanded himself in a special way. Otherwise, in Vrindavan, he never used weapons. He just, with Putana, he just remained a little tiny baby. He didn't like, all of a sudden, little Gopal, just Shudarsan chakra came out. He just had his little baby hands. He went... You know, all the demons in Vrindavan, Kaliya, he just danced. Narasingha Dev, he had big weapons, his nails. Varaha Dev had his weapons. Ramchandra had his bow and arrow. But Krishna just got everybody, he liberated all these asuras just as a little boy playing. Bakasura swallowed him and Krishna was just inside and he just radiated some heat. But now, the reason he did that is because he didn't want to interfere with anyone's loving relationship with him. Because he wanted to just be seen as a friend or a son or a lover. And let all the Brijabasis think that Narayan is saving me. To not interfere with our loving relationship. But now nobody could see. Because he was inside the snake. So he expanded himself bigger, 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 bigger. Until Agasura suffocated. And his atma burst from the top of his head as light. It went into the sky. His mouth opened. And Krishna glanced at all his friends and calves and brought him back to life. Then he came out. And the devas saw something remarkable. Shukadev Goswami explains that Agasura didn't get impersonal liberation. He got personal liberation. To actually go to the spiritual world to have a loving relationship with the Lord. Why did he get that? And Aracharya has explained, because somehow or other, those little gopas were so happy going in his mouth. And he felt, he appreciated their happiness for a moment. And because there was that slight little attachment to these cowherd boys, he was given this
liberation in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. To become attached to devotees. To become attached to giving pleasure by serving devotees is the path by which Krishna reveals himself to us. So these devotees, when they went to London, then they came to India, they were willing to perform any kind of difficult situation and accomplish things far beyond themselves simply because they were attached to Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada's love, Prabhupada's care opened their hearts so deeply that they believed everything he said and were willing to surrender everything. This is Vrindavan. Kapila Dev, he's telling his mother that the same way that materialists are attached to material things, if we just transfer that attachment to sadhus, to sincere, pure-hearted devotees, that is the highest benediction. That's why we come to Vrindavan, to become attached to Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar. But we cannot approach them directly. We can in one sense, but through Srila Prabhupada in all of our case, and through the Vaishnavas, by becoming attached to that attachment actually makes Radharani and Krishna attached to us. When we love those who love the Lord reveals his love to us. So the last today and yesterday we are celebrating the disappearance of Yamuna Devi. We see so many people who have become attached to her, how they're spiritually flourishing because they're imbibing her spirit of total attachment to Srila Prabhupada. And that is the greatest blessing that we all have. Krishna sends his loving devotees to this world so that we can transfer our attachment. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.